Well, we're going to look at a man for whom it seemed that everything had gone wrong. His whole life was topsy-turvy. It was in a mess. It had fallen apart. And we're going to have a look at some of the ways in which that had happened to him. And I'm looking at this passage with you because I hope, in a strange and perhaps backward sort of way, that what was true of him will also be true of you. Not that I want to have a group of people whose lives have fallen apart, but I think these stories are in the Bible for the sake of people for whom that is true. And if anyone is sitting here this morning and feeling that things have gone wrong and you can't see how they can become right again, then I hope that you'll look at Jacob in the story and say, if I have that God, I can have that blessing as well. And things went wrong from very early on indeed in his life. In fact, he didn't really have a very good start at all. His father was called Isaac. Isaac and Jacob. Jacob, the son. And his father had Esau. And he loved Esau more than he loved Jacob. So right from the start, here is a man who knows he is not the favorite child, but that another one is the favorite child of his father. And that, I think, must have set him off, in a sense, right from the start, on the wrong foot. And when Isaac was old and believed he was dying, he was going to bless his favorite son. And he gave the entire blessing, everything that he could speak before the Lord in that sacred time of dying, he gave the whole blessing to the other son, and he reserved nothing at all for Jacob. Now, one thing that Jacob had hoped for included this: be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. That was part of the blessing that was given to the other son. And Jacob had hoped to rise up, you see, having not been the favorite. And so his hopes were falling apart. Even what he had hoped for, he didn't get. But he himself did a lot of wrong things. And when I say I hope that people here this morning will feel that that story applies also to them in some of its parts, we need to acknowledge we may not have done what Jacob did, but we've all done things that need God's forgiveness. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, honour your father and your mother. It doesn't say, providing they're good parents. And he didn't honour his father because he tried to deceive his father. You remember that disguise he had with goat skin on his hands? He tried to deceive his father when his father was old and blind, and make his father think that he was actually the favorite son, so that he'd get the blessing, Well, if you've got a father who's old and blind, it's not honouring him to deceive him. And then the Bible says you must not bear false witness against your neighbour. Well, his neighbour in this case was his brother. And Jacob comes along and says, I'm Esau. Feel my skin. And Isaac was deceived because Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was a smooth man. And he found the goat's hair and he thought, ah, yes, this really is Esau. You shall not bear false witness. Are you really my son Esau? Isaac asks. Yes, I am. Jacob lies. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. And then it says, you shall not steal. Now, the oldest son did have a claim on certain things concerning blessing and inheritance. Jacob tried to steal that off his brother. Remember the story about the red pottage? And we've had the story of the disguise. He tried to steal the inheritance, the birthright, the blessing. And the Bible says, you shall not covet anything that is your neighbour's. And he's trying to get even that which rightfully belonged to his brother. He's coveting. So, yeah, he broke law after law, commandment after commandment. He committed sin after sin. I've done that. Not the same things, but I've had to come to God on far too many occasions and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness for what I've said or what I've done or what I didn't do that I should have done. And I believe that's true of everyone here this morning. We all come to God, like it says in the hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We come with nothing except our sin, asking for God's mercy. And so in chapter 27 and verse 20, we read this. Isaac said, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? That's the meal which they were going to have before Isaac blessed the one he thought was his favourite son. How is it that you found it so quickly? And Jacob answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. It wasn't God. It was his mother who'd gone and got a young goat and made a nice meal for Isaac, remember, who couldn't see and was believed he was dying. And Esau was out hunting. And so what's Jacob doing? He's actually sinning and actually saying that his success was God's work. And what about thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? I think of all the things he did, that was the worst. Because the others, bad though they are sinning against his brother, sinning against his father. This is sinning against God directly. So he was a long way from God. Now I can't look at your faces and see your heart, nor can you look at mine and see my heart. I don't know if you're close to the Lord this morning or if you're far from God. I don't know if you're one of those people who can really mean what we sang, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed How sweet their memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. If you are like Jacob was, far from God, God knows all about it. And there is always hope. So those are the things that he hoped for. He hoped, putting it briefly, to take his brother's place. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. But it didn't happen. What did happen was that his brother was so angry when he found that Jacob had deceived their father in that awful way. His brother was so angry at what he'd lost that he wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill Jacob. And in chapter 27 and verse 41, it says, "Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother.'" So his mother finds out about this intention in Esau's heart, this hatred, this resentment. And in verse 43, two verses later, she says, "My son, arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran." So his mother says, "Look, you'd better run away. You're going to die if you stay here. Run away. Get out of this place where you can live." And even his father gives the same advice, not for the same reason. But his father says in the next chapter, verse 2, "Go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother." Both his parents say, it's time for you to leave. Different reasons. One is just to escape. The other is to find a wife. But they both say, go. Get out of this house. Off you go. In chapter 32, verse 10, we find out how he went. Chapter 32, verse 10, he says, "For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan." And you know how he slept, don't you? We had it in our reading, chapter 28, verse 11. "Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep." He just had his staff. He hadn't even got a pillow. And the night has come, and he's out there somewhere. It just says a certain place. The sun had set, a stony place, and he takes one of the stones of the place, puts it as a pillow. Well, I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation where you've got nowhere to sleep. I think it may only have happened to me once on a journey. I was on my way to Albania, and I was part of the way through Greece, and nighttime was coming. And I couldn't find a hotel to stay in Greece. I believe the town was Florina, if I remember. So all I had to do was sleep on a park bench. I think it's the only time in my life I've slept the night on a park bench. It's nice to have a pillow and a bed and somewhere comfortable for the night. All he had out there in a stony place was a stone. And all he had with him was his staff. You see why I say a lot had gone wrong in his life by the time we get here, apart from his inward relationship with God. So you might think, how would you think if you were God and you had a man like that in your creation, in your world? I wonder what you'd do if you'd write him off. If you'd say, I use someone else for my purpose. This man he's gone all wrong. He's not worthy of my attention. Well, let's see what God actually says. Chapter 28, we had it in our reading, verse 11. He dreamt that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So he has a dream, and I believe it was a God-given dream, because God speaks to him. And listen to what God says. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Now, I don't know the date when that dream was had and that promise was made by God to Jacob, who, as it turned out, was to have children from whom the Jewish nation would descend. But let's say that it was maybe something like 1800 years before Christ. Not all that far short of 4,000 years. I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you lie. They're there to this day. What an amazing promise that God made to that man. And what an amazing faithfulness God had in making that promise. And your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, the north and the south. Now listen to this bit. And by you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That must mean Wrexham. Must mean Basingstoke, where I come from. Must be Albania, where I was on my way to that day when I couldn't get into a hotel. And must be everywhere else. All the families of the earth will be blessed through Jacob's descendants. And how has that happened? It's happened through Jesus Christ, one of his descendants. That Jesus was born, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. That's what our Lord himself said. And so the gospel has spread and is continuing to spread. Your giving next Sunday is going towards the Missionary Aviation Fellowship. And they fly missionaries into distant or remote places. So that promise, which we read in Genesis 28, can be fulfilled. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Fancy God saying, I am with you, to a man like that. Fancy God saying it to a man like me, or to a man or woman like you. None of us being worthy. I, he says, am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. What Jacob is beginning to learn is what it says. He wouldn't have known it because it was written many years later. But what it says in Malachi chapter 1 verse 2, where God says, I have loved Jacob. And it says in Romans 9 verse 13, turns it the other way around in English and says, Jacob, I loved. And despite all my own unworthiness, I believe that I could put my name where it says Jacob. And I hope you have the same assurance. Now then, verse 16. The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Here is a man, God is with him, God loves him, and he doesn't yet know it. And I'm wondering if there's anyone here this morning who is wondering, where is God? Why have things gone wrong in my life, in my family, in my hopes, maybe even in my relationship with God? Why has it gone wrong? Where is God? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Are you wondering whether God is with you? And this is Jacob's response. He called the name of that place Bethel. Jacob made a vow. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. The Lord shall be my God. If you have in your heart the same desire that Jacob had there when God met with him and began to make these wonderful promises, and Jacob began to find out that God really does love him, and if you have that same response in your heart, even though you might have had to say, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it, but if you can say, the Lord shall be my God, then I believe that you will find that God is with you and does love you and will not leave you if you are committed to him. You may not understand. I don't think Jacob understood, but he made that commitment. 20 years later, we get to chapter 31. And verse 38 says this, these 20 years I've been with you. He's talking now of that uncle of his. So he's there for 20 years. And then he leaves and comes back to where his brother was. Chapter 32 and verse 9. And Jacob said, oh God. Now he's praying. That's a change, isn't it? Now he's praying. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O God who did say to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness which thou hast shown to thy servant. You and I need to take exactly that language upon our lips or sentiment in our hearts. I'm not worthy of the least. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan. Now I've become two companies. And so he offers a prayer. And then in chapter 33 and verse 5, when Esau, because he's coming home now, raised his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, who are these with you? And Jacob said, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. Now he's talking about God sincerely and ascribing to God what really is God's work. And verse 11, he says, accept, I pray you, my gift that is brought to you. He's offering his brother a gift, the brother he wronged so many years ago, because, he says, God has dealt graciously with me. Now, whatever's gone wrong in your life, whether it was during the COVID years or more recently or further in the past, whether you've done all sorts of wrong things, which are different from the ones Jacob did, or maybe in some cases even the same, whether you're far from God, if you say as Jacob did, the Lord shall be my God, you find out that God loves you. And like it says in Malachi and Romans, I loved Jacob. Put your name there. And where is the Lord Jesus in all this, apart from being one of Jacob's descendants? Well, he is the one through whom that blessing will come to you. If you take Jesus to be the one who bore your sins at Calvary when he died and rose again, the resurrection and the life for you and for me to give us eternal life, to cleanse us, to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, and to guide us through the wilderness, as it were, as it said in the hymn. We need Jesus, and we will be able to look back at the end, and I believe we will see that God was there with us all the time, even when, like Jacob, we have to say, God was in this place and I didn't know it. We will look back and say, yes, God was there. And we will find out that he never left us. And we will find his promise to be true. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, may that blessing be yours and mine until we draw our last breath. Amen.